It's Sunday. Are you glad to be here this morning? Amen. Turn in your hymnals to number 169. Let's all stand together.
Oh, thou crown of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, upward songs of love. His melodious song, sung by flaming tongues above, with the mountain fixed upon it, not the fiery gleaming blood. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I know by thy good pleasure, safely I'll arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, entered forth his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a treasure, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a treasure, find my wandering heart with thee. Wrong to wander, Lord, I feel it. Wrong to leave the God I love. Hear my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy joys above.
Amen. We're going to receive our offerings. Gentlemen, for prayer, please. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated.
Good morning, everybody. You're not seeing things. There are two letters today in the bulletin. We're just trying to catch up a little bit. The first one is Puerto Rico Baptist College. They've been busy as always. They traveled about 65 miles to an evangelistic outreach in Santa Isabel, Puerto Rico. This isn't in this letter. It's in a previous one. Spent about 4 hours distributing literature in these large subdivisions. Apparently more effective than what we have here, because several people, after hearing the gospel, I mean, there was a lot of them, and then two of the young men confessed Jesus as Savior. That's wonderful. The college kids then went ahead. They led some singing and provided some specials and testimonies, and they preached. And that was during February. In March, they sponsored their annual mission week. The missions majors at the school there, the college, they organized the activities. They also had a special banquet that featured food and decorations and clothing from some foreign countries. They were later invited to serve at a pastor's retreat. This was about 122 miles away at a place. This church is Nueva Vida Baptist Church, which is New Life Baptist Church. And about 20 pastors and their wives were there, and the students served tables and presented special music. They really stay busy. I don't see where they have time to study, but they do. They also, something happened during March that was kind of not good. They were in class, and there was really strong winds going on, some kind of a storm, and they heard this rumbling sound. Well, apparently the winds caused a huge, I won't tell you what exactly happened, but the tree fell on some of the property of the school. And there was some damage. Thankfully, of course, nobody was hurt. So there's always something new going on. They're praising churches opening doors on weekends for students to give them some practical work experiences. They had 3 new students last semester. Of course, they're thankful there were no injuries during that storm. And they're also thankful because the students are getting a lot of service opportunities outside the college. Certain prayer requests. They want visas for 6 new students coming in August. If you can help them, maybe pray to God, help them get those. And we know the visa process is not a fun thing. They also have their foundation, which provides assistance. They'd like to get support for that. And, of course, to repair any damage that was done by the tree. The questions tonight will be on church, geography, and also another one on church. And then the other letter. These are the Shores, Shore family. This is an amazing family. I've watched them. I think I've told you about watching videos on TV where Benjamin does preaching out on the street in Scotland. It's really amazing. It's inspiring to watch him do that. They had several highs and lows during January and February. One of the lows was this man that was attending faithfully all of a sudden just stopped coming. And we know that happens. But there was also a high because people that they didn't see in January came to church in February. So up and down, you know, Satan's hard at work trying to keep us from going to church. One thing that happened, and, you know, there are no coincidences when God is involved. There was this one man that had been visiting them. He got saved, but he got saved in a Pentecostal church, Church of Christ. It was much farther away than this church of the pastors, Southside Free Baptist Church. So he's been praying to have God help him decide which church to attend. Well, apparently on Sunday evenings they've been studying Corinthians, and it just so happened to be that night this guy was there. They were doing 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul diminishes the gift of tongues. If you know anything about the Pentecostals, a lot of them believe that speaking in tongues is the initial physical evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul kind of said, no, that's not what really happens there. So anyway, that was kind of neat. Hopefully that give that man something else to think about. They've been busy. The Shores have been busy. They're on furlough now. 3 months. They had left in February. They had like 30 meetings planned. I think I counted something like 14 states. We just got a recent letter from them. They're just traveling all over the country. The good news is they're going to be here. Yeah, they're going to come on the 10th of May. So be looking forward to that. They are also very happy that they have Dave Barba and his wife. They're associated with Baptist World Missions. They're very seasoned ministers. They're well known for their itinerant preaching. They're going to come and watch over their church in Scotland while they're here in the States doing their furlough. So they're very thankful for these people. They knew they were going to have a good trip because as they were leaving, they had all their suitcases packed and the barbers were there and they have a dog. And I guess, you know, you're always concerned about your dog. Your dog sees everybody leaving, they're going to get all excited. Well, the dog was okay with that because they saw the barber. He saw the barber. family there. So they had treated them well in the past. So I thought that was kind of funny. God just even went to that smallest detail to make sure they had a nice trip. They had several flights without incident, and the God gave them grace for a very long travel day coming over to the United States. They've been so busy, like I said, something like 14 states. They're using a minivan that they bought originally for some of the kids that they have in college to use. It runs pretty well. There's a few minor issues, but they just wanted to let us know that they're thankful that we're praying for them. Everything's going well. They're moving around. They do miss their church, of course, back in Scotland, but they thank us for our prayers. And lastly, they got to enjoy some time with their extended family. They all met in Lattimore, North Carolina. Logan and Benson, two of their sons, are already there with Benson's wife, Christina, because they all have something to do with Ambassador Bible College there, Baptist College. But they also were joined by their daughter, Kaylee, and her husband. And there was a big surprise that happened. Kaylee and Christina, the two wives, gave Benjamin's wife, Katie, a Mother's Day card. And it apparently the day before they got this card in Scotland, that was Mother's Day. Well, what really happened was in the card, they were announcing that both of these ladies are going to have babies. One of them is going to be on September 23rd and another on September 25th. Yes, so they were pretty surprised by all that. They're coming May 10th. I hope you look forward to meeting them because it's quite a family. They have a couple prayer requests for their church back home. Make sure the church is doing well and helping the Barbas out with their watching over the church. They want to bless one new church member that's going to be born the end of March. That's a different child. God bless them. And also God's strength, provision, and grace for the two new additions in their families. All the questions tonight will be on family. And thank you.
Amen. How many here have ever met the Shore family before? Brother Bob? Brother Bob. Okay, so the rest of us are in the same boat. We're going to look forward to seeing them and meeting them here. And it's actually going to be, I think it's the 12th, on Mother's Day. They're going to be here with us for Mother's Day. Is it the 10th? Okay, why was I thinking the 10th? You're right. I mean, I guess I told you that date earlier. I changed it. They're going to be here on Mother's Day, so we're looking forward to that. And going to be with us in that morning service. So let's turn our hymnals once again over to number 243, Victory in Jesus. Let's all stand together. Kansas coming around you this morning. Thank you. And I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there a song of victory. No victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me so with his redeeming. Praise God, he loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated.
Good morning, everybody. Announcements for the week. If you have your bulletin, open it up. I got some stuff for you to write down. This is where you get to get involved with the announcements. On May 2nd, we will have our men's meeting in the back, Saturday morning, 9 o'clock. Men, plan on being there. Put it on your calendar. Come fellowship with the men. Come discuss things about the ministry with the men. Plan on being there. And then with that, with the men having their thing, the ladies want to have something too. So this afternoon after church, in the back, there'll be a nursery meeting for everyone involved with the nursery. Go plan on being there too. Don't just run out and skip out if you're in the nursery. Please attend that. If you look in the bulletin, we have our teen camp and junior camp. If you have kids that are planning on being there, get with Pastor, get with Miss Katie, let them know. The cost is in there. It's a great time for kids and teens to get away at a designated time where they're going to hear preaching towards them, for them, and they get a good opportunity to spend time with other kids from other churches and build friendships and relationships. There's churches that the teens have gone to that they've made friends, and every time they've gone to youth conferences, they've gotten to see them again and rekindle that relationship that they've had. And so it's a good thing. It's a great thing for the kids. And though be in your place tonight for our lessons on Job, the messages on Job and what God does in Job's life. And those are the answers. Does that end of the pastor?
Amen. Amen. Our men's meeting is more than just fellowship.
It's also, really, it's our vision and planning meeting. And so that's when we go over some of those things that what's coming in the future. So be a part of that. Be a part of that. Men, if you're, it's for anybody that's coming. You don't have to be a member. But if you want to be a part of what we're doing here at Heritage Baptist Church, be a part of that. Let's turn one last time over number 441. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. You can stay seated for this one.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with me. Thou changest not thy compassion, Children's Church dismissed at this time. Amen. What a blessing to sing about God's faithfulness. Amen. And God's faithfulness unto me. And I guess to you too. I know He's faithful to me. Amen. And I trust that He will for you too. Acts chapter 9 this morning. We're in continuing the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 9. We did kind of finish up Acts chapter 9 last week, but I want to just kind of jump back. When we're telling a continual saga, right? We got to go back, and because I know you probably are thinking, man, that was a week ago, right? That was a week ago. Can you refresh us, right? And so that's what we're going to do. Let's all stand together when you find your place there. Acts chapter 9, verse 36. The Bible says, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom they, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner." Let's pray together this morning. Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful that You've given us, Lord, what we're going into this morning. We are really a blessed people that throughout many generations on this earth, people did not have a copy of the Word of God. It wasn't written even, Lord, and even when we think about our English language, Lord, it's really not so many years that in history that we've actually had this printed in our language. And so, Lord, we're so thankful for that. And Lord, maybe it would stir our hearts as we think about the single Bible that's being worked on and that we're being involved with, that such a people could have what we're enjoying this morning is not guessing about these things, but really getting to know your heart and your desire and how You work. And so, Lord, I pray that You'd bless this morning. Help us to receive this in a way that we would really consider Your faithfulness to us. And we'll thank You now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So last Sunday we talked about this, the power of a changed life to make a difference in the lives of those around you. Right? And how when our life is changed and the effects of our changed life on other people, and many came. We came and believed, and we found this over. Peter was able to be used of God
to affect the lives of others. And this is really what we see. And not only him, but these others that he interacted with and seen miracles on their lives and what happened, and they were able to be used. But I want us to understand something is this. There was about to be some personal change in Peter's life that was going to be needed. Okay, no. Listen, God wants to use you. You believe that this morning? Ooh. Okay, three or four of you. I'm preaching to y'all this morning. Okay? Maybe it's the others that don't know that I'm preaching to you this morning. God wants to use you. God wants to use you in ways you could not even imagine. So I can't even imagine. That's what I just said. Right? God wants to use me in ways I can't imagine. I can't imagine what I wouldn't imagine. You know what I'm saying? You're like, I can think of some great ways I'd like God to use me. God has ways that are beyond our ways. Right? And He wants to use you in a way that is so magnificent. Right? It's unsearchable. You think, wow, how God could use it. But there's a caveat with that. Okay? Much of the time, there's got to be some change in our life. Okay? Peter's about to deal with that. Peter's about to undergo some change. I want to say this to you, this right here, though. God will absolutely use you in your life where you are right now. Amen? You understand that? You say, God can't use me until I change. Okay. Don't jump onto that's that ship only, okay? But the difference, okay? The difference, there's so much more that God wants to do in and through your life. No. I want y'all to get this, please. Please don't miss this part. God can use you where you are, and many are like, well, God's using me, so I'm good. Or maybe some people get this thought, God will never use me. I got so much messed up in my life. God will never use me. God will use you. You're here this morning. You've accomplished what many people didn't already. Okay? You're already in a place just showing up at the house of God in a place to hear the Word of God is a testimony to people that don't. Really is. So don't beat yourself up like, I'm just no. Stop that. Our confidence is in the Lord, right, men? Right? We just did that in Sunday school. But here's the thing. God wants to do so much more with you. And the more, that more that God wants to do with you is going to take some life-changing decisions from you. In other words, what I'm saying, you're going to have to make some life-changing decisions if we want to go to that more. Do you? How many here like the idea of making minimum wage? I love that. I just want to make the bare minimum. I mean, the bare minimum today in Florida is like twice what it is in Oklahoma. You know that? And the minimum wage here is half of what it is in California. Cost of living and so forth. But I don't think anybody really sets out in their life and say, you know what I want to do? I want to aspire to minimum wage one day. Right? Now, hey, so many people make minimum wage. All right, I'm not mad about it. Amen. But if someone just says their whole life, all I want to do is just make minimum wage, just, you know, I guess I'd rather that than somebody like say, I just don't want to do it at all. But most of us aren't really satisfied with just doing enough. We want to, I'm going to shift this illustration. We want God to do more with us. Okay? And you're like, I don't even understand what more could God do with me? That's what I said. You can't even imagine. You can't sit here and go through the process. But so we do want that. That's my point I'm starting with. We do want that. It's going to take something from us. Okay, number one this morning is this. Meanwhile, 30 miles away. Okay? Meanwhile, 30 miles away, we come into chapter 10. there was a certain man. So when I say meanwhile, while this was going on, okay, so there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, and which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour. Let me just hit that word evidently. Evidently doesn't mean, I guess, well, quite. It really means in evidence. It's the word. It's not kind of how we use our evidently today. Well, evidently, you think that. No, it doesn't mean like that. It means there was evidence of it. Okay, this is the thing. So we saw in a vision, evidently, clearly is really the word, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Okay, so we have here a Gentile who feared God. We're going to find there's some interesting things about this man named Cornelius, this Gentile man. He was devout, scriptures tell us. He was devout, meaning that word devout means he was serious about his belief in God. It's really the meaning. Devout means he was serious about it. It means he was intentional. He was reverent. Even the word really gives the idea, even consistent in it, in that kind of thing. That's the word we get devout, is kind of really all these things, which gave way to the next part of the characteristic that's talked about this man, one that feared God with all his house. Okay? Meaning he had pictures of Jesus around his house. No, that's not what it means. It means he had scripture written. No, it's not what it means. All of his house means his household, his family, his servants, his workers. How do you know he had servants? Because he did. We're going to see that in just a moment. We have this kind of thing. It gives us the idea. So the one that feared God with all of his house may give us the idea that God was spoken of among the family and household. Okay? It was spoken of. He feared God with all of his house. See, the thought here is that there was not allowed to be irreverence towards the thing of God. Right? In other words, we are we're not going to talk. We're talking about a Gentile. We're not going to allow irreverence to be spoken of God. Well, the Jews, God, no. We're not going to do that here. This is a Gentile centurion. He's like, no, we're not going to do it. This is, I would say this was unique. What we find about him is unique. Cornelius would have had God at the center of his thinking and at the center of his actions, which is what would have caused the next part of, I think, what it tells us about him. He gave much alms to the people. His fear of God and his focus on God led him to be generous to others. It's clear that God was part of Cornelius' life. Y'all seeing his characteristics? You seeing this guy? It was clear that God was part of Cornelius' life. He was inside of his home. And it also moved him toward this final part that's mentioned. He prayed always to God. Okay? Prayed always to God. He was constantly reaching out to God. Reaching out, praying. This is a man that... Okay, y'all with me this morning? With me, I want us to, because we need to get this picture, because the message, you need this part to get the rest of the message. If you miss this part, you'd be like, it's just a story. It is a story. It is not a story, but an account. I like to distinguish that. A story is a makeup. Can be. Sometimes we've got that. This is an account of something that happened. Really happened. Just like this. It happened. This is a certain man. And so what had happened is he was a devout man, serious about things of God. He prayed. He gave. He was interested. He feared God. All of his house, he kind of had this, his whole household. There was something about that. And so we kind of get this picture of this man, which is important for us to see something about him. But there's something I want to bring our attention to this morning, though.
neither this man, y'all with me? Nor his family, nor his household had yet received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Y'all with me? No. He loved God, feared God, devout, prayed, gave. All of these things. His whole house. But he wasn't saved. Y'all with me? We're going to see all that here. You're like, well, I'm not sure. But you're going to see that here. There's going to be no doubt. By the time I'm done, there will be no doubt what I just said is true. Those of you that know the story, you're like, yeah, I know the story. That's how it goes. Those that don't know the story, you're going to find out what I'm saying right now. Those that know, we say amen. We're going to know that he wasn't saved in just a little bit, probably towards the end of the message this morning. So, what may have looked very much like a saved man living his life for the Lord wasn't. Now listen, some of y'all want to do this. I know some of y'all want to read ahead. Some of y'all want to read ahead. I'm going to get there. Y'all stay with me. I'm an expository preacher. We're going to go verse by verse. I'm not going to skip any. I'm going to get there. Y'all going, what was next? You ever watch a movie and fast forward it? Don't do that. I'm going to get there. Stay with me, because what you're going to do is while you fast forward, you're going to miss the part that really made sense. All right? I know it's hard. I do the same thing. Okay. This was a man that was very close, even open to the gospel, but had not received salvation. It's very possible, and often happens, that a person will have a love and desire for the thing. Listen to what I'm saying. Will have a love and desire for the things of God, yet never have actually been saved, nor had their sins forgiven. You think, Pastor, that really happens? We're finding it. I don't have to think it happens. I'm reading the story about it happening. This is the fellow, that's exactly what happens. And there's a remedy here. It's very possible. And it often happens even among our day, today, right? Some people will come up and say, I just love God. And they'll talk about how much they love God and how much they rejoice about God. And the fact is they don't really know much about God. But what they do know, they've accepted. Right? So that can make them devout. It can make them fear God. It may all the things that we see here, but still something's missing. They may even, here's the thing, they may even look like the best among us. When you think of Cornelius, you think, man, this guy sounds pretty good. And I'd like to have a church full of folks like that. But not. Not at that point. A little bit later, right? They might look the best among us morally, ethically, but they still lack one thing. God wanted to rectify that situation for Cornelius. Listen, God, I don't know if y'all know this, but just in case anybody doesn't, okay? Just so we need to hear it again anyway. We ain't going to get to heaven, and God said, I know you really loved me. I know you loved me. Close enough. Come on in. I'm sorry, folks, but we actually have an account over and over of God. That's not how it goes at all. You understand? It's not exactly how it goes. No, they can love God, love the things of God. They could wear a cross around, big one. They can have cross earrings. They could have WWJD tattooed on their hands. Right? Big old picture of Jesus on their back tattooed. Yeah, I'm just saying, people are like that. They're like, have you seen this one? I love Jesus. Well, if you got it tattooed, you must be. That's my stamp right here. A passport into heaven. I've met people like this. Can I tell you, I've seen folks like this. Can I tell you, they love God. No, they love God, and he probably is very important in their home. You're like, well, why did they tattoo themselves? Y'all stay with me here, folks. I'm telling you, I've seen this kind of thing. And they love God, but something was missing, and God wanted to rectify that. God is not happy leaving them like that. God wanted to rectify. Look at verse 5 now. And now, the angel's still talking to Cornelius. He says, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter.
He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants. That's how I know he had servants. All right. And a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. That's also why I said that. Right? You understand? And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Okay, look here. I want you to notice one thing very, very clear this morning about this account of Cornelius. When it became clear to him that there was something missing, y'all ready? When it became clear to him something was missing, that there was something that God had for him, he immediately sent to find the answer. Okay. Angel comes. You know, so maybe you're saying this morning, you know, if he really meant business, he'd have got up and went right away himself. He'd have been like John or like the other apostle that ran to the tomb faster, right? If he really wanted, if he was really serious, he'd have got up and went himself instead of sending his servants. And that's where you'd be wrong. That's where you'd be wrong. Because that's not what God told him to do. Well, I just thought, right? We find that kind of conversation in the Word of God. Well, I just thought, no. God said, do it this way. Well, I'm not going to do it exactly that way, but I'm going to do it close like that. No. God said, send someone there. He didn't say go there. So we think, I'm going to take a step further than what God said. I'm going to go further. No. God says what He says on purpose. Right? Says what He says on purpose. And God says, listen, He said to send men. The work of God is, stay with me on this thought, okay? There's a lot of things that are very important for you. Just everything I'm going to say this morning is very important. I'll try to keep you all with me. Okay, maybe some of it's filler. But the work of God is not simply in the providence of God. Let this sink in a little bit. The work of God is not simply in the providence of God. If that was the case, God would just save who He's going to save, and that's it. Okay? God desires that none should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. But if it was just the providence of God, everyone would just be saved. So it's not just in the providence of God. God has chosen to use man in this work of getting the gospel to others. So that's how God's chosen to do that. Okay? And sometimes we need some time to get our hearts ready for what God's trying to do with us. Sometimes God needs to get your heart ready before that fella comes over or that lady comes over and talks to you. I'm going to tell you a story. When I got saved, when I first got saved, I was excited. I was super gung-ho about things of God. Very little knowledge, very little understanding, but a lot of zeal. A lot of zeal without knowledge will get you in trouble. But it also gets you doing a lot of trying. Let me try things. Let me try it my way. So I'd always carry, I was still in the Air Force at that time. I had my BDUs. I had cargo pocket here. I always had it, my Bible. I had this it was a full Bible, but it's this kind of compact thing. It's about that thick. Had it in my pocket. And so anytime I had some spare time, I would pull that Bible out and I'd read it. Right? And so I would have that I'd read my Bible and I would get into that thing. And anytime I had some spare time, well, I'm over here at the base hospital and I'm getting some, an appointment. So I'm in this appointment and so I'm sitting there. And if you've ever been at the base hospital, you know, you're waiting. Right? You're waiting. So I'm there sitting there waiting. So I pull out my Bible and I'm reading it. And God begins to deal with my heart about something. He said, there's a fellow over there. I just felt like God said, I want you to lead me to give that guy a track. Because, you know, there's somebody there and I should probably do that. But here I'm reading my Bible and I look over at that guy and I'm like, he ain't interested. Right? Because I know who is and who isn't interested. Don't you? We think we do sometimes. So I looked over and I'm like, no, he's not interested, God. And this is my conversation in my heart, you know. And so I'm reading, and I'm not really reading. I'm just looking at words on a page. You know what I'm saying? I'm just kind of, by now my mind is just, I'm done, right? My whole focus is, I am here arguing with God about what I really know I probably should do. Be a light, right? And I'm just sitting here, because you know I had in this pocket? A bunch of tracks, just in case somebody was there that I could, but not that guy. Because he wasn't interested. So I'm sitting there, and there's this whole thing going on and with me. Everybody else would just look at, oh, look at that really devout guy reading his Bible. Man, he loves Jesus. People looked at me, they'd have thought, man, that guy, I wish I was like that. I mean, all I was doing was read my Bible, but I was, you know, nobody knew that inner struggle that was going on. So God just kept going on with this thing with me. So I closed my Bible. I wasn't really reading anyway. I was just staring at it. And I closed it, put it, and I buttoned my, I didn't usually button the buttons, but now I'm kind of madly buttoning. I'm not even getting that thing back out. Like I'm like protesting to God. And probably, I don't know if I crossed my arms, but spiritually, I'm just kind of pouting a little bit. And it's really the part I thought, okay, fine, God, I'll go do it. And I reached into this pocket. Right when I reached into this pocket to go grab a track, I might have even pulled it out. I was about ready. The receptionist came out, called that fella, and he left. Never seen him again in my life. And I thought, man, it's one of the regrets in my life. I'm like, why were you so stubborn? I don't know. I can't tell you. What were you afraid of? I don't know that he would say, I don't want that. What was he going to do to me? You want to fight over giving him a track? I could have took him. You know, I was 20 years old, 22 years old. I had less pains then. So why did I? You know, can I tell you, God had to do something in my heart. And I hate that that happened in my life. But I'm thankful at the same time because God did something with that experience. I hate that I have to learn by my own failure. I'd rather you fail and me learn from it. But I usually have to do my own failing. And I realized God did something with me. Sometimes God wants to do something with us, use us to do something. But we need to have some time to get our hearts right. Point number two is this. Meanwhile, back in Joppa. Okay, look at verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter, now we're back to Peter, went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry, and he would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and he saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and of wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill, and eat. Okay, so here it is noon. Peter goes up to spend some time in prayer, as he was wont to do. I'm sure he's going to go at noon, and go up and pray, spend some time. He was hungry, and they were preparing the food below, and maybe the smells of it were wafting up to him as he was up there trying to pray and with a grumbling belly, right? But then he fell into a trance. Okay. A trance. We use some of these words that were like, was it like a hypnotism now? Or was it, okay. It's not sleep. I want you to understand, it's not sleep. This trance is more like a super focused. You ever seen somebody like staring off into nowhere? Right? And you're like, my wife does it to me all the time. So, but sometimes I'm thinking and sometimes I'm just not. But this, men have a tendency to do that a little bit more. Like, are you sleeping? No, I'll do this when I'm thinking sometimes, and I'll just get, sometimes I'm thinking, I'm studying, I'm like, I close my eyes and I'm just zoning in on the thoughts. So this was kind of what's said. This is what this idea for trance that we're talking about. God is about to give a major shift to Peter's thinking that was going to change the course of the world. This is referred to, it's often spoken of, as called the sheep vision, right? It's called the sheep vision. Many people give it that term. This sheep was arranged as some sort of vessel, it says there, being let down from heaven onto the earth. And so this vessel was coming down from God to Peter. And so what did he see in this vessel of a gathered sheep? So it kind of gives us, it was gathered at the four corners. It kind of gives us, sometimes I'd always think of like this big sheet kind of floating down, like a floating sheet. Right? It's kind of what we get the picture, but it kind of really gives more of the idea of this sheet, but kind of gathered together at the four corners. Remember, we'd see the old movies with the kid that was running away. He'd have this thing and he'd tie it to a stick, right? I always wanted to do that, just because it was on the movies. As little kids with Huckleberry Finn or something like that, did this, you know. And so it kind of gives this idea of making it like a vessel. And I kind of wanted to study this a little bit. Why would that be? A lot of times in that day, they would keep things in a napkin or something. Little boy in his lunch had probably had something, that type of thing. That was a vessel that would have been kind of a common thing. So that's kind of why it's weird to us, but that's kind of maybe more common of what they would. And so what did he see in that vessel? Well, what he's seen is all manner of four-footed beasts, giving the idea that there would have been both clean and unclean animals together, mixed together, along with the wild beasts. Strange. This had been an extremely strange mixture of animals to be stacked together. Clean animals that they could eat, unclean animals that they couldn't eat, and wild beasts that they absolutely couldn't eat. But then there was more. There were also creeping things. Bugs, lizards, rodents. Okay, now, bugs, lizards, rodents, otherwise known as lunch. Finally, there was fowls in the air, which really kind of concluded the whole list of all the kinds of creatures one might imagine. Now this vision gives some directive. He says this: kill and eat. Lunchtime, Peter. Lunchtime. And this was, you know, and I said, it's not just, so this wasn't just an ordinary old sheet. It was a picnic blanket. And so Peter was hungry, so maybe he was like, all right, I guess so. Well, look at verse 14. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. So here we find Peter back to his old ways, telling God what he should and should not do. Jesus said, I'm going. Peter said, no, you are not. Jesus said, I'm going to die. No, you're not. I'm going to die before I'm going to let you die. Will you, buddy? Yeah, I'll die. Yeah, I will. No, you won't. You're going to deny me thrice. Peter, back to his old ways of telling God what he's going to do and what he's not going to do. Peter does some great things. He came a long ways from those days walking with Jesus. He came a long ways and he went through and denied the Lord and did all this stuff. And God came back and he came and on the day of Pentecost. He preached. Thousands were saved. Wonderful time. God was using Peter. But now God's about to do something more. Did you see what I said from the beginning? From the beginning, God's using you for something, but God has so much more, and it's going to take some change. Right? Isn't it funny how we will have some biblical perspective, or at least some religious perspective on how or why we do something? No. Y'all with me? We will have our perspective on how this thing works. Why God does what he does. He's doing this. This is how God works. We know it. We might think it's a biblical perspective, but probably a lot of times it's really more just of a religious perspective. right? We've heard it. We've seen it. Maybe our families have done it. We've listened to it for a long time. Yeah, this is how it's done. And we have this biblical or really religious perspective on how or why we do something. And we've done it for a long time. Yet when the Lord Himself would show it to us, y'all with me? In His Word, which is super awesome when we have His Word, and God shows it to us in His Word, that we would still go back and refusing so that we might... We say, no, I'm not going to do that because I'm going to do what I've always done. Because I want to obey God by not obeying God. Isn't that funny how we do that? No, I can't do that, Pastor. No, I can't do that. You show somebody, I can't do that. I can't do that because I've always believed... And this is what I'm doing for salvation. This is what I'm doing to love God. This is what I'm doing to reach other people. But the Word of God says thus and thus, that no, I can't follow that to follow what I've been doing. So if you've ever been like that, which if we're honest, we've all done a little bit of that. Amen? Okay, just me. Okay. Well then, if you haven't, you ain't really ever tried to serve God. Because if you ever try to serve God, you're going to find yourself struggling over some of these things. This is what I've always done. Well, why did you always do it? Because I've always done it. Well, why did you always do it? Because I watched other people do it. Well, why did they do it? I don't know. If we kind of chase it back a little bit, if we can't go back to this is what I'm pointing at, not my notes. If we can't go back to this, then... we ought to let this shift us, right? And that's where we find Peter suggesting here, I've never done such an ungodly thing, and I'm not about to start now. No, sir. No, sir. Not doing that. Never done it. Not going to do it. To that, the voice replies here in verse 15, and the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed... that call not thou common. That was done thrice. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. Into it. Into that vision. That's it. It's going. He said, no, Lord, the voice says, eat, kill and eat. Peter, I ain't doing that. No, sir, not doing that. And the voice against us, kill and eat. He says, no, sir, I'm not eating that. I don't eat that stuff. I'm clean, none clean. No, I'm not doing that. The voice said again, do it. Peter said, I'm not doing that. Vision goes away. See, here's the challenge for us this morning, folks. Is we think we know things. We think we know things. I hear people say things they think they know about this book all the time. I used to try to trap people. Not try to. It was a fun little thing I'd do. And I would say, cleanliness is next to godliness. Amen. That's in the Word of God. And people are like, that's right. That's right. Cleanliness is next. I've heard my grandma say that from a whole. Cleanliness is next to godliness. That's right. Amen. Amen. Because people, amen. If you say amen, amen. Right? Except for here. I got to point to the sign. To get, and they're like, amen. What do we, amen? Just trying to, amen. So, but we'll say some things we think we know. Why do we think we know? Because we heard somebody say it. And they sounded pretty authoritative. Yeah. Amen. Why? Because, and then finally, later on, we're going to hear something, and Peter's like, no, I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to do that. We think we know all about God, sometimes more than God Himself. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because I'm just like you. We all find ourselves in that place and struggling with it. I'm like, God, I've almost had the same kind of conversation with God. God, I've never done that. I'm not sure if that feels unholy, right? God said, do you want to follow me or do you want to follow you? Okay, but I wanted to see something here. This is not really a rebuke of Peter, okay? Unless I go too deep into that thing. This isn't a rebuke of Peter. It's a redirection for Peter, okay? He needed to get really shook up, to reframe his thinking about letting go of the Old Testament law to accepting God's plan for the new covenant. What God was trying to use Peter to do is usher in the gospel to the Gentiles. And what he said is really what God is saying. And Jesus spent the whole... If we really pay attention to what Jesus said when he traveled the earth and walked with the apostles, he was saying, that is going away. You've heard it said, but I say. See, he's shifting. And now there's going to be this break. And Peter wasn't really wrong, honestly. It really wasn't wrong. He said, no, God, this is, it's almost like God is asking him to sin. Does God ask us to sin? No. Never. Never. So there's an issue here. And so Peter, God isn't rebuking him. Peter, do what I say. No, that's not what he's doing. He's redirecting him. He's shifting his thinking. He needed to get shook up, right, to accept God's plan. Which brings us to number three, point number three. Trust and obey. There's no other way, right? Look at verse 17 now. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. Amen. A sheep gathered, animals. Like, I try to imagine what did that look like. I mean, I could see a giraffe hanging its head out. But I'm not sure where the creeping things, where they crawl on the outside? Rodents? I don't know what that looks like. I don't know. It's a vision. Sometimes we want to get it like really practical, literal. It's a vision. You ever had dreams and dreams are just wacky? Like, hey, that doesn't even work. Right? That's got just visions like that. But here it was. Anyway, he was doubting what it should mean. Behold, while that happened, while he's doubting, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Okay, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Okay, sometimes God's leading is not what we thought it would be. But I thought, remember Naaman? Y'all remember that fellow, Naaman, the Old Testament? He said, I thought this prophet of God would come and do some fancy thing. Lay hands or something like this, like the Pentecostals. Right? I thought you'd lay hands and be healed and that would work. So I thought, he said, and man, praise the Lord, he had somebody with him. His servants at that time, they said, listen, if it was a hard thing, you'd do it. Let's do this thing. And it's good to have a friend, even whether it's a servant, an employee, a child, that would say, hey, why don't we try to follow the Word of God? That was the Word of God. It was the prophet of God. I'm not the Word of God. I'm a preacher, which is different than a prophet. Which is what Elisha was, and that was when he spoke, it was the words of God, you understand? So he said, why don't we just try that and just follow the Word of God? And we find this kind of thing. So sometimes God's leading is not what we think, not what we thought it would be. Listen, it's not how we thought it would go. We didn't think it was going to go like this. So different than what I thought it was going to go, or even what we thought it would look like. Right? Man, it's so different. Peter hadn't figured this out yet. That's what he said here. He knew it was gross. I'm telling you, today, if God told me to eat a mouse, I'd have to either be starving in the tundra, or I don't think I'd keep it down. How many here have ever ate mouse? Nobody? Down here in the front, some teenage, y'all have ate. Hey, never been that hungry. I've never been that hungry. So it was, it was gross. He knew it felt weird, but he also knew it was from the Lord. So what would someone strong-willed and persistent like Peter do? Well, look at verse 21. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. Of what is the cause wherefore ye are come? He took the first step of obedience. What he did, first took the first step in the direction of obedience. He was still reeling from what God showed him, but he obeyed anyway. You got that? I don't understand what God's doing, but I'm going to follow him anyway. Right? I'm going to go do it. Listen, we don't have to have it all figured out to obey the Lord. It's one step at a time. So Peter asks, what do you want? Well, he said, what's the cause you're here? But really what he's saying, I don't know what God's doing. I don't know what's going on. What do you want? What is this? What's going on? Could you help me? Could you help me out? See, y'all don't want to wait for me to help you out. All y'all are reading it. When I see heads, and we ain't reading, y'all reading. And it'd be, like, sometimes I see one or two, but everyone's down. And I'm like, y'all ain't listening to me, so I got to keep going on until you look up. You're like, why are we going so long this morning? There you go. Okay. Verse 22. And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee in his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brother from Joppa accompanied him. So they slept on it, right? They slept on it. Well, I'm not sure Peter did. I'm not sure Peter slept on it. I think Peter was there all night thinking, what on earth? What on earth? I'm going to eat mice and spiders and bugs. That's what I get caught on. Maybe he was just thinking about the unclean animals. Maybe he was excited about eating pork. I don't know. I heard them smoking it over there. I don't know what it was, but something's going. He doesn't know, and they step on. Okay, point number four. It's the last point. Here we go. Get ready to see God move. Get ready to see God move. So we find the next day they left for Caesarea. And listen, when we will trust and obey, the results are amazing. Look at verse 24. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. Look, I didn't say it was going to stop getting strange. Okay? I didn't say trusting and obeying is going to, it's going to clear it all up. I didn't say trusting God is going to be, wow, okay, now this all makes sense. I'm still trying to figure out what God's doing with my life. Yeah, seriously? Yeah. All the time. Peter comes up to this centurion that is ready to worship him. Can you imagine he's getting up here and the centurion comes up and begins to worship Peter? Peter's like, get up. I'm a man. Now we got the Gentiles worshiping me. He wasn't like the Pope that said, right? It wasn't like, yes, you should. Kiss the ring. Could you imagine Peter still kind of in a whirlwind of what God is doing? I mean, it's both terrifying and exciting all at the same time. That's what following the Lord is like. It's terrifying, but it's exciting. I know God wants me to do this. It's exciting, but also terrifying. And you're like, nope. And that's why we find God telling Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Right? You're going to have success, but it's going to take some courage. You look at verse 27 now. And as he talked with them, he went in and found many that were come together. Cornelius got all his folks together, right? And verse 28, and he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So we really get what Peter's dealing with. This is a big deal. This was Old Testament law unlawful. What he was doing, God was telling him to do what I told you don't do, I'm telling you do. So God, do I follow what you used to mean or do I follow what you mean now? God said, do what I said. By the way, what I said is this book. What God tells you to do isn't what comes in your head. I just had this vision. There is no more visions. We've got it all written down. We don't need any more visions. You understand? We don't need God to show me some visiony thing. God doesn't do that. He's given us this. Amen? Isn't that awesome? We have it all right here. God doesn't. Here's what He used us today. In these days, He's spoken to us by His Son, and He's given us His Word. And so he begins, as he's doing this, you see, Peter is starting to unravel what God had given him. He says this. He says, this was less about food, and it was about men. That's what he said. That's what he realized. He said, oh, God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. He figured it out. God's hard to figure out. Is that fair? Yeah. I think that's fair. God's hard to figure out. You know what I tell you the step to figuring it out? Trusting and obeying will give us the opportunity to understand. Does that mean we always understand? Not necessarily, but I'm going to tell you, trusting and obeying, when we go down the road, we're like, that's what God was doing. I knew it hurt, it was hard, it was difficult, it was weird, it was strange. But that's why God was doing that in my life. Look at verse 29. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, for what intent ye have sent for me? He asks again, what do you want? I came here right away. What do you want of me? What's this all about? He's like, God said this. Now, what do you want of me? Look at verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting unto this hour. I'm telling you, this was a devout man. Serious about things of God. He said, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast done well that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. This right here is awesome. I love this part. God is working on two fronts simultaneously. He is working in the heart of one that needs to learn of Christ, while at the same time He's working in the heart of one who needs to bring the gospel message. Simultaneously, God's working on the hearts. I want to ask right here, which one of those are you? You're one or the other. Well, I don't think I'm either. Wrong. You don't know that, but I do. I know that based on the Word of God, God has two things He wants us to do. He wants us to be saved. If you say right now, well, listen, God's not really moved me in that direction. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I mean, made a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and what He said in His Word. If you've never made that decision, God is right now dealing with your heart that you'd believe on Him. You say, Pastor, I've done that. Amen. Okay. So then once you've done that, he said, now from here on out, I've got to work for you. I've got to work for you to do. And that's to tell others what God has done for you. Well, I just don't really feel, I'm not really one that does that. Probably if you're not one that does that, and if you've never felt compelled by God to do that, it's probably because you didn't get this one. I'm not saying there's some place in here where we get stubborn and we quench the Spirit. Yeah, that happens. But I'm telling you, if there's never been a time that you wanted somebody else to know the gospel message. Now listen to me this morning, folks. If you've never been burdened to get the gospel to somebody else, probably this one never happened. We're either on one of those two things. The one that needs to receive the gospel or the one that needs to take it. Now, lest we get confused about why this is so strange and up until now, okay, up until this point, the gospel was never intentionally taken to the Gentiles. Y'all understand that? Now, there were some that on the way received the gospel as Jesus traveled on the way. Some received it. But now it was being directed to Gentiles intentionally. This is a big deal for Peter. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. I want you to see something right here this morning. This is what a salvation experience looks like. They were hungry. They wanted to know the truth. They were seeking God. They wanted to know him. And Peter preaches the message of Jesus Christ and what he did. And it's interesting in verse 43 how it comes. And he said, to him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, he's going to tell us right here, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. I don't know if you were like me, but I thought I understood salvation. I thought, I don't think I was as good as Cornelius. I love God. No God. But the truth of the matter is, I didn't understand what it took. I was cleaning my life up. I was at the cleanest of my life had ever been by the time I heard the gospel. I got to a place, and I realized that day, I had no idea this. I thought belief meant to just believe in his existence. But it was to believe that he is the way. And it's so fascinating here. As soon as they understood, and he gets to that part, that whosoever believeth in him shall receive that remission of sins. Listen, it says what we find is the Holy Ghost fell on them while they heard. No, this was not preempted with a prayer. Not asking, hey, would you like to receive Jesus Christ? No, this wasn't, not some leading here. Let me tell you how you get saved. No, I'm telling you, as they heard this, they were hungry, they came. No, this is the power of the gospel, the truth upon those that were desperately seeking it. Verse 45, it says, and they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because it said those believers from Joppa came with him, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. These Jews just now, at that moment, realized that the gospel was not exclusive to them. Right in that moment, they realized the gospel is not just for us, it's for the Gentiles received the same Holy Ghost as they did. Peter is going to rehash this story later on. And he said the same thing happened to them as happened to us on the day of Pentecost. Same thing. God did that on purpose. God had given them the same earnest of salvation. In verse 46, For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And we commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. What an amazing time. You can see how the Pentecostals grabbed this one verse, don't you? Oh, that's it. That's how they know. Right, John just read. That's how they know. You talked about them. That's how they know is because this. No. What happened is they believed. As soon as they believed, they received that. And this was the day of signs to show, to demonstrate the power of God. Started with the directive to eat creeping things, but ended in the gospel being open to the Gentile nations. Listen, God has. Here's our conclusion this morning. I know we're long. When we have these accounts, we kind of have to read the whole story. Amen? And I had to throw in some of mine. Okay? God has a plan for you. No. For you as an individual. God sees you. You. It may be that you are at the door of trusting Christ and following Him. Or it may be that God is preparing you for something else that is someone else that's looking for Christ. Number two, here's this. Either way, whichever side of that equation you're on, there are going to be some major shift. There's going to need to be some major shifting in your thinking. We've got to get rid of I thought. We've got to get to God said. If you truly desire to follow God, then His directing you will not be rejected by you. Now listen, I didn't say it won't be challenging. It will be challenging. It will be challenging, amen? Challenging is what gets exciting for us. Even Peter stumbled for a moment at what God said. He said, no, God, I can't do it that way. Can't do that. But he did follow. God wants to do something in each of our lives. Will you trust Him? Let's all stand. Father, I pray that You'd help us this morning. Lord, I don't know the need on each heart. And Lord, You do. And Lord, I don't know where each person's going on in their life individually. Lord, there's things that we couldn't even imagine that's going on in the hearts of individuals right now. And Lord, I pray that You would do a work. Or if there's one here this morning that would say, or if they'd say, I've never, ever really put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And this morning I've been convicted to do that. Lord, I pray that You'd stir that heart to come this morning. And then maybe, Lord, there's some here that have really been terrified and maybe they've been excusing themselves. But yet, God, what You've been doing is doing something in their heart that they would share the gospel with someone else. So, Lord, I pray that You move in the time of invitation this morning. Listen, if God has spoken to your heart, I pray that You come. I pray that You come now. The altar is open to you. Wherever you're at in your life, what is your need?